Hey, 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 everybody. It's Lynn Schuessler-Williams and
Brooke Haynes.
And we are here with Frequency 500. We're so excited. So we have something fun to tell you about today. Recently, Brooke and I were interviewed on another podcast to talk about Frequency 500. And it was so much fun. Wasn't it, Brooke?
It was so much fun. It was one of my most favorite. It's one of my favorite podcasts we've done.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk to you about it. We wanted to tell you about it. We want to tell you to go listen to it over on their podcast. And we want to support the women who are doing this other podcast. It's called the Shero Cafe. And yeah, Deb Pearsons and Deborah Edwards are the hosts of this, and they are just amazing and fun and wonderful.
Lynn, they did such a good job at asking us the questions about Frequency 500 and why we do it and where we're going with it.
Yeah, they did. And hearing their responses to the idea of Frequency 500 was super special to me too. It was like, oh yeah. And it just like ignited an excitement in me to hear their excitement about this idea of Frequency 500.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And you know, they are also out on a mission, and even though they're direct mission is not necessarily to raise the vibration of the planet, but what they do does raise the vibration.
Yes, absolutely. We felt like there was this real kinship with their mission. And Deborah has been a good friend of mine for a while. I was trying to figure it out the other day, 6 or 7 or 8 years we've known each other. And she's just an amazing woman, and she's a mindfulness teacher, and she just does great work in the world that does exactly what you just said, raises the vibration. Without that being specifically the mission, it's the result for sure, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Debbie, I know, also specializes in or coaches women on self-love as well.
Yes.
They do similar things, but in a different way. And for sure, they are by far helping women and supporting women how to really find the self-love in their everyday.
Yeah. So we definitely want to promote their podcast of Shero Cafe and encourage everybody to go subscribe and listen and all of that. But we also just wanted to talk about like how the act of talking about Frequency 500 raised our vibration and our excitement level about talking about it.
Yes, yes.
It was just wild. Like we got off that thing and we were walking 3 feet off the air, you know, I mean, off the ground. It was just like, wow, that was fun, wasn't it? And you were like, yeah, that was fun. It was just really amazing.
The synergy that happened in that podcast too. Like they have a real unique synergy. And then of course we all know we have a synergy, and the four of us were just like flowing. It was great. It was great.
Yes. Yes. And you know, those flow experiences are so fun to notice. And they're so important, I think, to us to take note of it. When is it that you're in those kind of flow experiences? Like that whole idea of noticing what you're noticing and really paying attention to when that shows up for you and sharing it and talking about it and being in it and being aware of it and uplifting the people that are in it with you so they know. You know, Brooke, I had another experience yesterday that felt really in flow. We were hosting Wise Women Wednesday, which is our second Wednesday of every month connection event for women at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. If you want to come, you can go to finduprising.com and click on the Wise Women Wednesday button. But we were doing that, and it just felt so in flow like that. You know, it was women from around the world. We had somebody from New Zealand who was at that event yesterday, and just so many different women who are doing different things in the world, right? Most were business owners, but not all. And it was just like this flow experience. I can't tell you, like, not everything went the way it was planned, but all of it just kind of got picked up and the flow happened and it was easy and good. And those experiences are so sweet.
Mm. They really are. And you have to allow for that to happen. You have to be in a place of allowing for flow to happen and openness and receptivity. So often we want maybe to either know the questions ahead of time and rehearse the questions ahead of time to know what's going to be, because you don't be caught off guard. When my experience has been is when I allow myself to just open, I almost don't want to know the questions anymore because I know I mess it up when I try to rehearse. And I'm just like, it's no longer good. And so when it comes out of response of just being open and allowing myself to give the answer in that moment that is true for me, it usually just allows this place of receiving what I'm supposed to say in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I'm not the person who wants to know the questions in advance and need my responses mapped out ahead of time. I'm going to, like you said, if it's that structured, I'm probably going to mess it up. Just let me flow with it's going to be. And that's what I felt like we had with Deb and Deborah with the Shiro Cafe interview. That was just so much fun. It was just, we had no idea what they were going to ask us, and it was utter flow.
Yes. And you know what? There was also a synchronicity that at the very end, and we won't tell everyone what we said because they'll have to go listen, but her question is, what is your wish, right? What is your wish for, I think it wasn't humanity, it was a wish for women maybe, I don't know. And that, my friends, is how I even started into podcasting, was Wish Radio. Mm. And there was a lady who is my mentor and dear friend who got married yesterday. Hey, Tara. Hey. Who started before podcasting was, you know, what it is today. She had this little studio built in her closet, and she'd go on and say, and it'd be Wish Radio, and it's Women International Summit something. And she would interview women all across the world who were doing some really amazing things. And I fell in love with her. I fell in love with the woman interviewing. Yes. And before I knew it, I was working with her. And before I knew it, fast forward, I was coaching with her, and she was my first way into coaching. I mean, like, I coached with her, and then I turned around and she started training me to coach. And I got my first coaching clients with her and organization. I got a product line through that. And when she retired, she handed me over like her entire company, which was
Which I love, by the way. Yeah. I used some of those products.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing. And it was always, and she would always ask, what is your wish for women? Mm. And so I started, when I was asking that question a lot of times, what is your wish? And what I've learned, and I had quit. I'd quit saying that. And what I have learned recently was that when you ask someone, what is your wish for the world or for people or for humanity or for however you place that question, that your real desires on what you want to see start coming out. And when she unexpectedly asked me that question, I was like, I felt like it was just like a whole 360.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my heart just opened, and I knew I was in the right place before I even got on there. But it was just like, wow, it was a message to me of how special that podcast really was.
Yeah. That's so fun. Well,
and my wish had changed a bit.
Yeah, that's right.
It had dialed in more.
Yeah, that's right. I won't give it away, but I remember the answer, and I know, because you and I have been having these conversations for some years now. I noticed the change, right? Mm-hmm. I knew that there was the shift. And, you know, I was listening actually just this morning to Joseph Campbell talk about, I listened to a bunch of it. So he was talking about this was a recording of Joseph Campbell interview after his book about myths came out. And he was talking about what we experience life as. The question was something like, what's the purpose of life? And he said, I don't really think life has a purpose. You know, life is a bunch of like atoms and things that come together to make life, right? Chemicals and all that stuff. He said, you know, it was kind of like we are the meaning makers, right? We are the thing of, you know, it's our experience of life that gives it purpose. And each person has different purpose. It's not that we have. And so it was just a really interesting question. And I think that evolves, right? To go back to what you were talking about. I think that evolves over time for each of us. What I would have said 40 years ago is not what I would say today about what I think my purpose is or what my wish is either, right? For the world or for women or for, you know, the frequency of the planet and all of that. That definitely changes and evolves as we do, I think.
It certainly does. And I have a wise friend who said recently, I like when I see experts and gurus actually change their mind about things.
Yeah.
And I just waited in question. And he said, it shows that they're growing and evolving.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. And I love hearing that because, you know, I had a direct experience of that. In my own personal evolution, after I learned the Reset It process and became certified to teach it and all of that, I went back to some of my coaching clients and apologized to them for passing my programming on to them in particular ways. And changed my tune about some things and was real specific with them. So I think it's so important, you know, a lot of the personal development industry, whether it's the coaching industry or some other version of it, you know, think of all the books that I can see a list of New York Times best-selling personal development books that are all the four things of this, or, you know, the five steps to this or the three steps to that. They're these models, these paradigms, you know, that, and even my book, 9 Little Words to Change Your Results, right? Like there are models and paradigms of doing, of getting better, of growing, of doing. And we get so kind of married to them and thinking that we have to operate inside that thing. And the truth is they are, unless they're designed for you to make it your own, they are just programs that other people are passing on to us too. It's pretty interesting. Well,
it is. And some of those can be useful in the moment. So yeah. I think if we allow ourselves to, and that's what we can use for books. I went through a phase, honestly, I'm just now starting to slowly come out of it. It was like a 20-year phase.
Yeah.
I wouldn't read books because of that. I was like, I'm just adopting their own, what they're telling me. And I'm I like to believe things. So I believe everything they say. Right. And until I can learn how to look at something and take out what I want of that book, I really quit reading books.
Yeah.
But then if I look about my
journey, my book, right? You read my, no, I'm kidding.
I did read your book. I read John Drake's book too. Okay. And I, in my 30s, I read the entire Course of Miracles. Like it took me almost 2 years. I read Louise Hay. Like, I think that's their, you go. Those are the four books I've read.
So, right, right. During that 20-year.
That's right. Yeah. But what I definitely see is that it's also like a bouncing board. And if we allow ourselves to understand that this might not, that this is helping me now see this and I can grow from it. Now, where am I going to land and not get too ingrained into what it meant. What you said just a few minutes ago that kind of launched this part of the conversation hit home to me, because about purpose in life, we do get to believe what we want to believe. And, you know, I love astrology and it's fun. It's harder to love these days because I know we get to do whatever we want to do and we don't have to listen to astrology. But it was fun. And my what's the real popular, you pay a lot of money to get that 36 page or 100 page profile
when you have your
human design chart, your
human design.
And you know, and what my purpose is and what my direction is and where I'm gonna go. And you know, I it made so much sense. It was so me. It allowed so much. And
right.
And then you hear somebody say something like, well, we put the purpose into our lives because we're just a bunch of particles that come together and you create it. All of it makes sense to me.
Right.
So
I
get to choose. I can even choose parts and pieces of both of those.
Right.
But to allow myself, I don't like the way I feel when I start to not believe anything. So I like to replace my beliefs that I no longer believe with something I want to believe. Until it no longer serves me, and then I'll believe something else.
Well, and you know, that's so interesting. I think that's a natural tendency too for most people. You know, we are meaning makers. We like it when life has meaning. Like, it's part of how we operate in the world, I think. And going back to the book thing, I had a book phase of about 30 years. I'm older than Brooke. And I would buy these books, all these personal development books and all these, you know, spiritual development books and all these things, in this energy of, I have to have that because I think they know something I don't know. And I have to know all of it. I have to get all the knowledge. I have to get all the things. And I just no longer have that anymore. I'm about to, and you know, at one point, y'all have probably heard me say this before. My husband said to me, if you bring one more book in this house, and I said, don't draw a line in the sand that you know I'll cross unless you mean for me to cross it. Just build me another dang bookshelf, honey. And he didn't. And so there's stacks of books everywhere. And so, and I didn't stop bringing them in the house either, right? So, my point is, I don't buy books almost at all anymore because I no longer have that. They know something I don't know. My discernment level, my process of discerning life has gotten so simple that I no longer really have much desire to read those books that tell you a way to look at the world. Because I know my way to look at the world is to be present. And and that's all I really need. And so it is just a whole different, but there are still useful things. And you said just a few minutes ago, Brooke, you said you talked about responding. And I immediately, before you ever mentioned human design, you talked about how you respond to things. And that's a part of my human design chart is that I respond, right? I have a sacral, whatever that's called. And responding is my prescribed way of being in human design. And so, well, okay, that's fine, right? And you notice it about yourself. You said, when I can just respond and not have the list of questions ahead of time, right? That's a way that you and I are alike, I think. But it's just so interesting. We evolve and change how we think about ourselves and the world because we are the meaning makers.
You know, since we're on the topic, I'll go so far as to go with what I've really been thinking about the coaching industry. And that's a hot topic because, you know, you and I are both coaches, and so is everyone else listening to this. Most of the people listening to this right
here. Okay,
so
not everyone.
Buckle up, Buttercup. We're going to say something real quick.
Right.
So I have had a real new discernment. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Discernment.
Discernment about coaching because the coaches that are out there saying that I have a three-step this or a four-step this to get you to feel good about yourself are it's like the book that's going to tell me how to answer.
Yeah.
I can tell where you are in your journey. And that's right. People need you where you are in your journey and you'll get clients. What I'm looking for now out of a coach is someone to hold space with me, who can mastermind with me, who can see a little bit about where I'm going and who I am and draw the answers out of me. Because I'm the one with the answers between me and God or me and the universe, however you want to look at that. Mm. I like to say me and God now. it's because we have the answer. And so it's within. I just was telling someone this. I can't even listen to guided meditations lately because I don't see it like they want me to see it.
Right.
I need to go in. I need just to meditate into myself and come up with the answer myself, go where I need to go myself and let it look like I need to let it look like myself.
Right.
And so neither are right or wrong. It's just where you are in your journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I totally agree with all of that. And I think this idea of we evolve is also wherever we are in our personal evolution, we can be there at the highest frequency available to us there, right?
Absolutely.
And when that becomes something, that's a gift we give ourselves and the world, right? Because every time, you know, going back to how we got here with the map of consciousness and frequency 500, you know, is love and Dr. David R. Hawkins, who wrote the map of consciousness, explained in many other books, Power versus Force, said one person at 500 counterbalances, makes up for, if you will, 750,000 people at 200 or below. And you know, when you think about, I want to contribute to the world, so many of us have this, the world is so big now. There are so many people and technology is so big and sometimes hard to understand and all of that. How can I possibly be the one person who does anything to change the world? But I can be the one person who gets one bit higher on the frequency scale and by going up affects the average, right? Draws the average up with me. And so I just think it's, you know, all of this comparison and all of these steps and different things are unnecessary for us. Just be present to be in you wherever you are and, you know, go for up. Love and above, right? From wherever you are and every bit on the way up. You know, if you're stuck in shame, anger is going to be up. So go for up, right?
Yeah. And one thing I want to circle back to in a statement I said is that when I say where you are on your journey and that's okay if you're there and things of that, those statements, it's not linear. So it doesn't mean one's farther along than the other.
Right.
It's just where you are in this place at this moment.
Right.
Right. And all of it's needed. There's a reason and season for it all. You know, I just wanted to really really clarify.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. That's so good. Well, we had fun at Shiro Cafe, and we had fun here today too.
We did. We did. So don't forget to go to shirocafe.com.
Yeah, that's right. Shirocafe.com. Don't forget to go to frequency500.com and tell us if you've got a story about your frequency getting raised, or a story about, you know, someone else impacting your frequency in a positive way. Or we want to hear those stories, so that so go there and share them, and we'll look forward to hearing your story.
All right. Take care.
Bye, everybody. Bye.